This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a podcast I'm very much looking forward to because today we're going to deal with pain. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neck pain, or a variety of pain-related syndromes, this podcast is going to be very important listening for you. Today we're going to talk to Dr. Ira Rashbaum. Dr. Rashbaum is a disciple of Dr. Sarno. Dr. John Sarno was a professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation at New York University School of Medicine and author of a book called Healing Back Pain, which was a revolutionary book, highly controversial. Dr. Sarno was beloved by his patients, including many celebrities, often derided by his colleagues because his work went against the grain of conventional rehabilitative treatment. Dr. Sarno passed away at the ripe old age of 90 plus, but carrying on his work at NYU Rusk Rehabilitation is today's guest, Dr. Ira Rashbaum. Dr. Rashbaum is a physiatrist, not a psychiatrist. Physiatry is rehabilitation medicine, and he works with patients who have chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders using the diagnostic and treatment methods pioneered by Dr. John Sarno, who was emeritus professor of rehab medicine at NYU here in New York City. So it's a great pleasure talking to you, Dr. Rashbaum. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hoffman. I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Well, indeed. So tell us a little bit about your background, because you had an opportunity to work with the late, great Dr. Sarno. And you give us some background on how he approached patients and how this has impacted your work.
Yes. So I was very, very lucky, Dr. Hoffman. I actually was able to do my residency at Rusk Institute, now called Rusk Rehabilitation and NYU Langone Health. And at the time when I was at a resident, Dr. Sarno was sort of a little bit marginalized to the side of the rehab medicine department. Just when Dr. Rusk was ruling the roost at Rusk, Dr. Sarno thrived. And again, not to say anything, but certainly in the next couple of chair people of the department, Dr. Sarno was a little bit marginalized to the side. So when we had to seek out Dr. Sarno himself, so when I was in 1992, when I was a middle-level resident, I don't know how I did this, but somehow I got the Mind Over Back Pain book. This was from 1984. It was a year after Healing Back Pain came out, and it really essentially changed my life. So I said, why not? I said, why don't I just go reach out to Dr. Sarno to see if he'd be willing to spend some time on my elective with him. And it's a funny story about this. So I went to Dr. Sarno's office and his secretary said, I'll come see you at this point. So then I went to go see Dr. Sarno. And then I sat down in his chair in his consultation room. He said, Dr. Rashbaum, do you agree that 95% of all back fusion surgery is malpractice?
Wow.
And I said, I guess so. I said, okay, so maybe we can work together. That was the first time
that was the premise. That was the premise that he wanted you to accept. And of course, that could seriously rub colleagues in rehabilitation medicine and orthopedics the wrong way, and in neurosurgery, because that's all about correcting anomalies, using a fix, essentially a surgical fix. And what he's saying is that it's vastly overused. A statistic shows that the back pain industry is a $90 billion industry in the United States, which includes, of course, surgery, but also ancillary services and chiropractic and all these things and whatnot. And it turns out that Dr. Sarna wasn't a big believer in these procedures.
Right. So just so you know, Dr. Hoffman, in 2 years ago in the Journal of American Medical Association on March 3rd, there was an analysis of U.S. healthcare expenditures from 1996 to 2016. So in 2016, the most expensive healthcare expenditure in the United States of America was low back and neck pain, $134.5 billion. Oof. And number three was diabetes, which is actually quite remarkable.
Wow. So if this holds the prospect of alleviating the suffering of even a minority of these individuals, it would really be a boon, not just in terms of suffering, but in terms of the hit to America's finances. My story of finding out about Dr. Sarno is way back when, and I think it was in the 1970s, there was an article in New York Magazine, which was essentially about the odyssey of the author who was suffering from back pain and the different modalities that were available. It was kind of like a smorgasbord. It was like, well, I tried acupuncture, and I tried physical therapy, and I tried chiropractic, and various things, yoga, blah, blah, blah. He went through different things. And with each of them, he sort of gave kind of a lukewarm recommendation for each of them. He said, there are benefits to each of these things, and on my path to recovery. A couple of months later, he wrote an article which basically stated, "Eureka, I have found it, I am cured." And that was an article that featured Dr. Sarno. And what it did is it swept aside all these other modalities, these time-consuming and expensive and sometimes invasive modalities, and supplanted it with an entirely different paradigm.
Right. It was Tony Schwartz who wrote the article. Yes. It was like about 10 years later, like in the mid-1980s, which was really kind of, after that article, Dr. Sarno's practice really took off.
Yeah. It put him on the map.
Right.
So
in terms of
I'm sorry. Let's get into the meat of this.
Sure.
What transpired when Dr. Sarno saw patients? Because he didn't lay hands on them, he didn't do trigger point injections, he didn't manipulate them as many people do in that department. That's what rehab medicine is all about. That's what you're trained to do. You're taught anatomy, you're taught various ways of alleviating pain, often, via medication, but, there are hands-on procedures. What he would simply do is he would talk to people, either individually, and then later, he would have group sessions with people, put them all in a room, and just talk to them, and they felt better.
Yeah. So basically, when I started studying with Dr. Sarno, he actually did a very, very careful medical history, very, very careful. And in addition, in his medical history, he talked about other histories of other ailments that could be psychosomatically related. And also, he actually did do a very, very careful physical examination, a neurological examination, a musculoskeletal examination. And in most situations, he said, this is probably, he used to call tension myositis syndrome. Now it's tension myoneural syndrome. And if that was the case, then he would actually proceed with this sort of the treatments for these sorts of things. Back when I met him in the early 1990s, he would do these in sort of group lectures, first a two-part lecture, then a one-part lecture. Then he got older. He couldn't lecture anymore. So just as you don't know about this, actually, Dr. Sarno was a board examiner. He was really the real deal.
So he was very, very rigorously trained. It wasn't like he was eschewing his clinical training. He was nuts and bolts rehabilitation specialist.
Right. So, and again, he He was really a master of the history. And just so you know, Dr. Hoffman, is that after the New York Magazine article, he would, before going to offer an appointment for a patient, he would do sort of like a 5-minute pre-screening phone call. So he was very adept at triaging patients that he wouldn't think would benefit from the program. So his diagnostic rate was probably at least 98%.
So you know, obviously this is not a panacea, and there are certain circumstances where the best treatment is, say, disc surgery or, you know, some sort of intervention that's not talk therapy, essentially, right? And so we can't deny that there are physical impediments to getting better that sometimes we have to surmount. So these are the types of patients that he might screen out and say, look, you have, you know, really severe disc compression, you know, you really might need a surgical procedure.
Absolutely. Let me just add to that. Sure. So there's a well-known neurosurgeon named Hubert Razumov. He was the former neurosurgery at University of Miami School of Medicine. He passed away back in the late 2000s. So he did something very controversial. He actually abandoned the operating room, and it was actually an article about him in People magazine in the 1980s, because he said that by the time 1991, he said that structural changes were only responsible in pain in only about 1% of patients. And this is a thorn in the side in the spine surgical community. So that's my experience. So usually when I see several hundred patients a year, and about 1% of those patients, I say, this is not stress-related. Mm-hmm. Similar to Dr. Razumov, you need a back operation. You need it right away. And I had the most recent back operation patient about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes disc surgery is the proper treatment. Right. It's always a diagnosis of exclusion.
What I've heard is that there are some studies that are blinded studies where they do MRIs of essentially two groups of people, mixed group, patients who are in pain and patients who are normal, who have no pain, and they perform an MRI on them, and then they hand the MRI to experienced radiologists to predict which of the patients are in pain. And the net result is that it's kind of a dice roll, is that some patients with extremely deformed spines are fine, and some patients who have minimal changes are in excruciating pain. And so that kind of underlies this theory that maybe there's something in the soft tissue that is actually the determinant of who suffers from pain, or maybe in the brain circuitry even, that is the determinant.
Yeah. Exactly. As you may be aware, there was a landmark article in the New England Journal of Medicine in July 1994. 98 people, no back pain, and only 36 of the MRIs were normal. And these other data were replicated, even to a greater degree, back in South Korea in January 2013. Even a higher percentage of asymptomatic people had more structural abnormalities, but the only problem was they didn't have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that what I've heard is that there are more MRIs in Manhattan than there are in the entire province of Ontario, Canada? Perhaps in maybe the statistics in all of Canada, and that are the availability and the immediacy of MRIs may actually reinforce a sense that people are damaged or injured, which is contrary to the spirit of Sarno's paradigm, is that once you see the culprit lesion in your back and you say, that's what's causing me. Of course, I'm doomed to suffer pain. And that's what would be called the opposite of a placebo effect. It's a nocebo effect. It's, you now have a diagnosis.
Exactly. That's a very, very good point. About a year ago, I'd seen a patient from Silicon Valley. He came to New York and he was afraid of getting COVID, so he saw me by telemedicine. And the MRI was sort of structurally changed, but I'm putting the cart before the horse. So back in 2013, out of the New England Journal of Medicine, they had found that predictors of, how do I say, there were 283 patients who were doing disc surgery or conservative care crossover period. They found that 1 year out, that the MRIs 1 year out was poor predictors about how the patients did. And in an editorial, Richard Dale, a very famous doctor from the West Coast, he said that maybe these radiologists should include a disclaimer saying such as, while these, you have these structural changes on the MRI, they may be finding people without symptoms. For the first time in my career on faculty as of 1993, the Stanford radiology radiologist said, for normal volunteers between the ages of 40 and 60, structural changes are very common. And sure. My jaw dropped.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Personal question. Have you ever had an MRI of your back?
No.
And that's correct answer. I've had many opportunities to have MRIs in my back because I've had back pain. But understanding the Sarno paradigm, I kind of don't want to know. I mean, unless I'm paralyzed and, you know, in refractory pain and I have, you know, all the hallmarks of severe disc impingement, I don't want to know because I'm going to see some abnormalities, right? I'm, you know, in my 60s. It's normal.
Yeah. And Sarno called these normal abnormalities, but I don't like normal abnormalities because
kind of
there's sort of a nocebo concept to that. Right. It's an abnormality. So I just call this sort of structural variations on the theme.
There you go. Right. So, all right. So one of the hallmarks of Sarno's work is he tells patients who are undergoing therapy that essentially they're polishing their problem. If they're going to a chiropractor, if they're getting acupuncture, if they're getting, you know, any physical therapy, he wants them to stop that. He doesn't suggest that they continue that. Why is that?
Yes, that's a very good point. So by the time Dr. Sarno wrote Healing Back Pain in 1991, he did something very, very courageously. He's a physiatrist, and he said, why am I prescribing physical therapy to my patients? The reason why is that if you think that you're going to sort of like a physical therapist or a chiropractor or an osteopath for this TMS, you're going in the other direction. So when I do my treatment lecture, I quote Yogi Berra. I said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. So you can't go both ways.
Right.
You got to make sure that if it's structural motion, do it the other way. If it's sort of mind-body TMS, you have to go in the other direction. So if you do both, you're just going to basically be sort of spinning your wheels and treading water, not getting it anywhere very quickly.
But it may even be counterproductive because undergoing all that therapy may sort of reinforce the problematic nature of your situation, that it's sort of like conditioning you to experience pain and seek relief. Is that a little bit of an encapsulation?
Yeah, I agree with you. Exactly. I think sort of like the road to heck is paved with good intentions. You go to someone, a therapist with the best of intention, and they may sort of just reinforce that there's something structurally wrong, and that may just also delay your recovery.
Okay. So surely there is more to the Dr. Sarno process than say, ignore it, ignore the pain, you know, and don't worry about it, right? It's far more nuanced, and it takes people a step further. Because I mean, I've seen miraculous situations. I've had patients who've been through every manner of therapy, and I finally said, you know, in the day when Dr. Sarno was still practicing, because I've been practicing for many decades, I sent patients to Dr. Sarno, and they were relieved of their pain. So, but surely there's more to telling them, like, get over it, right?
Exactly.
So what is it?
Yeah, so we have to...
What's the process?
Right. So once we establish that this very severe physical pain is not due to a structural issue or due to sort of an avoidance from being in touch with your strong emotions, such as anger or fear and other things, we have to give you strategies to help you alleviate the pain. And that's what we do sort of like in the treatment sessions. We also give patients some homework for things sort of like kind of journaling and sort of meditation and that sort of thing. And that generally becomes very, very successful in relieving my patient's symptoms.
Now, you say that there can be impediments to that, that in a way, the pain is psychosomatic. It could be induced by anger, frustration, some deep-seated trauma, which doesn't necessarily dissipate? So are there ancillary practices that help patients explore those possibilities and purge them?
Yes. So before we proceed on that, that actually there was a pain management article 2 years ago saying that that adverse childhood experiences had a very clear association with chronic pain. So in terms of any kind of ancillary service that I would recommend working with sort of like a good psychotherapist, whether it's a social worker or a licensed mental health counselor or psychologist, but I would recommend practitioners who have the ability to explore your unconscious mind, sort of like somatic training or analytic training, because I think that that would be a better way to kind of help resolve the issues that would be behind the patient's symptoms.
So the suggestion is that there's a form of tension which actually deprives tissue of oxygen. Now, that's actually not just in your head. That's organic. That is actually a clinical finding, is that there may be some form of impediment of blood flow to certain areas, a block, if you will, that causes chronic discomfort.
Right. So some other TMS doctors question the decreased blood flow. I respectfully disagree. I'll tell you one thing. Back when I was a resident at Rusk, I actually took an osteopathy course over in Michigan State College of Osteopathic Medicine, and a very nice neurologist, I actually spoke with him about 4 years ago, he talked about the skin response. So he said that if you press over an area that is underlying a tight, tense muscle with slightly decreased blood flow, the skin will turn pink. And it happens in about maybe 87 out of 100 patients. So it's 87% sensitive, but it's 100% specific. So sometimes when patients come in with significant others, I go to a palpator region where it's symptomatic and the skin turns pink, and it goes to another area where it's not symptomatic and it doesn't turn pink at all.
Wow.
So it's quite remarkable. Yeah.
So that's kind of an objective confirmation that there really is an organic process, but it's governed by, it's the brain-muscle connection somehow, right?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we laid the groundwork for our discussion in part two of the Sarno technique, which involves diagnosing TMS. The new term is tension myoneural syndrome, because it's not really a myositis. That's a muscle inflammation. We have autoimmune diseases, which are myositis. So it's myoneural, it's muscles and nerves. Tension myoneural syndrome, or TMS, may be the root cause of a lot of the pain that people are suffering. And then, unfortunately, some people obtain a surgical fix for something that could be treated in a much more benign way. That's the essence of the Sarno method, which is highly controversial. We'll explore his work and its modern incarnation with a practitioner, a disciple of Dr. Sarno. Today's guest, Dr. Ira Rauschbaum. Dr. Rauschbaum, give us the information, Dr. Rauschbaum, about how they can contact you. And you say you do telemedicine as well for people who are out of, who are not in New York City.
Yes. So my office number is area code 212-263-6037. In terms of telemedicine, I have telemedicine privileges in Florida, but basically the tri-state area. So I wish I had more telemedicine states, which I have availability, but the snowbirds can see me in Florida, but also sort of in the tri-state area, even in New York. So even if people from like upstate New York or sort of southern New Jersey or sort of northeastern Connecticut, I'm always happy. But also sometimes patients who live in Massachusetts, they can go over the border to New York and do a telemedicine privileges and that telemedicine visit and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Okay. For our listeners, I mean, it may seem strange that doctors can't just pick up the telephone and talk to you wherever you are in the country, but it has to do with certain strictures and requirements. And basically, it has to do with liability, malpractice. You got to have a license to talk to somebody in another state in terms of formal practice of medicine, which actually there's been a little bit of lightening up on that during the COVID era, because so many people have required telemedicine to stay in touch with their doctors.
Yes.
It really doesn't make sense that somebody who lives across the Hudson River in New Jersey can't pick up, can't get in a Zoom conference with their doctor in Manhattan. But such is the case. All right, when we return, more on the subject of the Sarno method applied to pain. Our guest, Dr. Ira Rashbaum. It's spelled R-A-S-H-B-A-U-M. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Yes.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.